Good morning. It is so good to see each of you. Welcome everyone online. It's good to be together today. I wonder how much we think about what we think about. We know our minds are powerful, impacting our emotions and our actions, sometimes negatively, sometimes positively. And here's another way that our minds are powerful. Sometimes people tell us, it's all in your mind, meaning that we are imagining something that isn't really true. But we want to be grounded in reality for our lives to flow out of what is true and out of what we value. And many times that's tricky to do because we're so bombarded with so much information and mixed messages and even lies. It's difficult to sort out. And so as we are seeking to live in this series and beyond, as we're seeking to live rooted in Christ, Paul, the writer of this text, says it all starts up here. And here's a brief story to illustrate that. A couple of years ago, I went to an evening prayer service at Grace Covenant Church. These are open to anyone. I think they're once a month on Monday nights. And Zion was going through a painful season at that time. Our lead pastor was ready to announce that he was leaving Zion. And a stranger was praying for me, this beautiful prayer. And then she said something curious. She said, "It's time to pull back the arrow and shoot." And I looked up at her and I said, "Wait, I'm Mennonite, I don't understand." But in scripture, the tongue is called an arrow. And so the prayer meant it's time to speak. And that experience gave me the confidence to begin speaking more. The transformation started in my mind. And we've probably all had similar experiences happen. Our minds are powerful. Well, today we are focusing on our minds, on transformation, and on God. And I brought a couple of props to help us. Jim Clymer has a wood shop, a workshop, where he creates items with wood. And he starts with a block that looks like this. And he ends up with a bowl that looks like this. Or, using a different type of wooden block, a bowl that looks like this. Transformation. I want us to imagine that on this wood that is going to become a bowl someday, on this block, I want us to imagine the word mental. We have a mental block. I couldn't resist. Because sometimes our minds get stuck. We want to know what the bowl is going to look like. At the end, we want to know each step of how we're going to get to the bowl. And so as I highlight a few of the verses that Becky read, pay attention to what this passage is saying about God's mind and about our mind. Verse 33. Oh, the depth. One commentary said the word here is like inexhaustible. It's like if we imagined a root system beneath each of us that goes way down deep. Inexhaustible. The depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Just a side note here to help us. If I believe scripture to be the inspired word of God, which I do, and if I believe that God grants wisdom to those who ask of it, which I do, we've experienced this. And if I believe God to be wiser and smarter than I am, which I do, then why do we have so much trouble asking God for wisdom? This really frustrates me for myself. Is it impatience? Is it pride? Is it forgetfulness? Is it D, all of the above? I struggle with this. Because far too often what I do is I come up with my own plans, and then I say, okay, God, isn't this a great idea? Would you bless this? And we need practical ways to begin with God's mind. Why? Because Scripture says, who has known the mind of the Lord? No one. Or who has been his counselor? Not one of us. Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? We are not God. We respond to God. Now receive this part. For from him and through him and for him are all things. We each started in God's mind. We and this church and our neighbor and the people we love and the person who frustrates us, this world, we are all from God, through God, and created in God's mind for God. So how might rooting that truth into our minds change the way that we live? If we don't understand that God made us, chose us, wants us, has a purpose for us, our lives get off track. And if we don't understand that God made the person that we're anxious about, whether it's because we love them so much that we're fearful about what might happen to them, or whether it's because they frustrate us so much. The bottom line is that if we understood the depths of God's wisdom, we would have more peace of mind, which would show up in our behavior. I'll share a story about God doing this. About a year ago at an elders meeting, we were having a time of prayer for the Mennonite Church USA special delegate session that was going to be coming up in May. It happened this past May. And that session included the repentance and transformation resolution about same-gender relationships. And you may remember there was a lot of anxiety about this event and what would happen. And add to that that I had some pain from my past that I needed to work through that was weighing on my mind. And as we prayed at elders, this laughter, not of my own doing, it was from God and through God and for God, this laughter came up out of me. And I started feeling peace. None of the circumstances had changed. How I thought about them changed. And especially at first, a nagging thought would come to mind, and I'd realize I can either let that go or I can let myself go into a tailspin. I can remember that moment with God, that laughter, using my mind to trust that God is faithful. And as God began teaching me to root my thoughts in Christ, keeping the people and the organizations and my values and beliefs, which I value highly, keeping all of those lower than Christ, that's when transformation happened. So please, please do not think of me more highly than you ought. I still get tempted. I am absolutely imperfect. What I want you to see is that God did all of it. God is the one who gave me the biblical thought to live with peace. And God can empower us to continue to have peace as these conversations will continue. We can choose fear because of what we see around us or what we can't see around us. Or we can choose with our minds to trust God's provision and transformation, even when we don't know what it will look like yet. God invites us to weed some thoughts out of our minds and to water the Jesus-rooted thoughts in their place. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 1, therefore. The therefore means, in view of God's mercy that was talked about all the way through Romans chapters 1 through 11. Paul says, I urge you. Paul, in all his intensity, isn't gently inviting. He's urging brothers and sisters, that means the church, people who belong to one another and to God, We are related. We are family. We are daughters and sons of God, not in isolation, but rooted to Christ and therefore connected to each other. Keeping God's mercy in mind, keeping in mind that we are a family here, keeping in mind that we are all from, through, and for God, then when we wonder how to live in a certain situation, it starts in our minds, remembering that we are sons and daughters together. We are all equals and valuable as God's children. So Paul, writing to this diverse church that often had misunderstandings and stereotypes of one another, Jewish Christians wondering if they belonged, Gentile Christians wondering if they belonged, and Paul urges them to keep in mind who God is and who we are to be, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, to not conform to the pattern of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Wow. God's transformation is possible. So we know the depths of God's wisdom is inexhaustible. God is able. And we know that God is merciful. God doesn't just invite us to have transformed minds and then not equip us to do so. Verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. I remember growing up when all the adults in our congregation were deciding whether or not they could purchase microwaves or whether or not that was in conflict with this verse. And I have a new way that I hope we can think about not conforming to the world today. And this is timely and important for our lives together, individually and collectively, in this particular moment in history. The world says, if you want something done, better do it yourself. The world says, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. And at the same time, there's also this pesky voice in our minds telling us, we can't do this, we can't do that, we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not liked enough. And so our minds either feel defeated in what we can't do, or we feel strong and courageous because we fight the pesky voice and we seek to do it ourselves. And oftentimes the messages that we get from the world, whether it's you can do it or you can't do it, they contain a grain of biblical truth. So Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we think, well, I guess I can't do anything right. It's too hard. There's no point in trying. Or on the other hand, we make our own plans and then we ask for God's stamp of approval on it, quoting, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And either way, whether we're thinking of ourselves too highly or too lowly, we get off track, whether it's pride or unbelief. A few weeks ago in Sunday school, we shared the team covenant that Zion Leadership has been using for the past several years as a guide for how we seek to live in relationship with one another. And the team covenant expresses some of our values about our relationships with one another, and it outlines some of the ordinary ways that we seek to live as followers of Christ. And there are, by the way, there's copies on the back table. If anybody would like to look at one or take them with you, that's fine too. If you are interested in being part of this for all ages, you are welcome to add your name to the list of people who are committed to seeking to live in this way at Zion. When we talked about the covenant in Sunday school, one person bravely asked, "Can we do this?" Such an honest, thoughtful, valuable question, and probably on many of our minds. Because what does the world say? You can do it. Just put forth some effort. You've got this. And so we try. And then we make a mistake because we're human. And maybe we dust ourselves off, and we try again, and we make a mistake again because we're human. We dust ourselves off. That can go on and on. Where on the other hand, the world, and maybe also in our minds, says, no way we can do this. This is impossible. It's too hard. Let's don't even try. And so we're going to practice. What happens if we apply our verses today and a few others to that situation. So God, we ask for your wisdom for our decisions today. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? From him and through him and for him are all things. So if God made people knowing that they are human and therefore imperfect, etc., and if God made the church knowing, the church is full of people, then why would God implore us to live transformed lives by the renewing of our minds? Why would God invite a fallen, broken people? No offense, I am completely, absolutely right here with you. Why would God invite us to follow Christ at all? Except maybe in God's mind, God didn't expect us to follow Christ perfectly. Maybe in God's mind, it was fully known that we would stumble, and yet the experience itself is still valuable and even necessary. This is a key part of the truth that God wants to teach us today, that on our own, we can do nothing. That's Jesus' words from John 15. And a part of that verse, part of us hates it, right? I wish I could save you the road trip. I still have ways that I seek to be the exception to that verse. We cannot do this team covenant on our own. One of the pearls, I'll read the last sentence of number 3. We will move toward conflict with curiosity, expecting the Holy Spirit to illumine us. This is impossible in our own capacities. But church family, scripture says that with God, when we are rooted in Christ, not only is this possible, but we will bear much fruit. With God, we are empowered to live this team covenant, not perfectly, but by God's grace and wisdom. In our hunger for Christ, we begin not in the messages from the world that appear to be true, but by renewing our minds, being rooted in Christ's mind, seeking God's wisdom, seeking to live like Christ. This team covenant is an example, a practice of being rooted in Christ. Our lives are to flow from starting with Christ, honoring one another in radical ways. We might want to pick one item to focus on each week or each month. These last few verses expand on how and why we live. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, there's that Jesus-rooted part again, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's part of the why, so that we, the church, where all belong, form one coherent body, so that the world, when they look at us, they no longer see the squabbling or our humanness. Instead, people see Christ. How is this possible? Only by Christ. So let's turn this in one last direction here. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven or on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And I want to know if you can complete this verse. And he is the, do you know the word that comes next? The head of the church. Excuse me, the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything, everything, he might have the supremacy. The body begins with Christ's mind, not ours. My challenge to us is to think about what we are thinking about individually and collectively. If we want to keep growing and being a church that reflects Christ to the world, what do we need to be thinking about? Ourselves, our anxieties, the values of this world, or Christ? God empowers us for this work. God is able to renew our minds and transform our lives. Will we join God today in letting Christ be the head of this body? Let's pray together. God, we pray for each person here and online that you would bring to mind the one takeaway for today, the one next step that you invite us to take. Make clear to us the thoughts that are not Jesus-rooted and help us to weed those out. Help us to water your thoughts, your transformation. I see the way that we long here to live out the implications of the good news in our lives together. We seek to proclaim and reflect that Jesus is the head of the church, the center of our faith, by focusing on Christ's words and values and not the world's, by being open to God and curious to keep growing and rooting in Christ rather than in ourselves, by allowing you to transform our lives, and by believing that you are able. I thank you, God, that you are able. You continue transforming us to live Jesus-rooted lives, for from you and through you and for you are all things. To you be the glory forever. Amen.